What is going on, everybody? Welcome to Suplex City Geeks. This is episode number 12. Joining me today, we got Brian. What's good, dude?
Just a little case of COVID. I'm good. How are you?
Yay, COVID. Yay, Ronas. I'm hanging in there, dude. Hanging in there. Trying to stay positive. It's the beginning of a week.
I'm staying positive, too.
I know.
As in, I tested positive today.
Yeah, no, I got you. that was a good one. That was a good one, sir. Mm-hmm.
Laughter is the best medicine, after all.
It really is. You can't deny that, dude. You have to at least, yeah, you know, take it with a little bit of jest while you're there. Because if not, you're just gonna be fucking depressed like a motherfucker.
Absolutely, this is why I watched the latest Bill Burr comedy special before we started.
Nice. How did he like it? Because I hear a lot of people complaining about it not being that great.
I thought it was great. He had me cracking up in the minute like he opened.
Okay, good. Yeah, because I read somewhere online, I was like, oh yeah, this is the second special, the second shitty special that he's done. I'm like, I don't think he's done a shitty one in general, but
no,
and that's at the just end of this one, people hating on the internet.
And then he at the end of this one, he had dedication to two people I didn't recognize, but then he also had the amazing Jonathan, Bob Saget, Louis Anderson, and Norm MacDonald.
Oh, nice. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty dope.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty dope. I like that. So, let's get into the fucking show, because that's what we do. We jump right into shit. We jump right into the ring. Mm-hmm. Throw some shit down. But before we get into the main event, yeah. Like that, right? Yeah. There's been a lot of shit going down in WWE, specifically. And we kind of touched on it previously, but we got some more news that came out this weekend, because we're recording now on Monday, and we got, like I said, more news this weekend that came out, and it was like, wow, they are really, really speeding up the process of making shit probably really good.
Yeah, we can hope so.
And the biggest news, the first... we heard that Triple H was going to be in charge of, was it the first, we first heard he was going to be in charge of, I guess you could pretty much fucking say it. At the moment, he's going to be in charge of creative in general.
Mm-hmm.
So all of creative. So no more Vince McMahon storylines, which means a whole new start, a reboot of the entire thing.
Yeah.
It's going to be really fucking interesting.
Because
the reason we've been getting a lot of repeat shit is because Vince is... He's stuck in his ways and he's not changing things. And, of course, now at this point, Vince has retired, which is, what we should have led with was Vince retiring.
Yeah, Vince McMahon is officially retired from the company.
Yes.
His tweet was basically thank you forever, thank them, thank this, thank that. I'm 77. I'm retiring.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, it's like, no, you're retiring because you,
because you got to wind up paying up, fucking
14 point something million dollars over time.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's money that he used from the company.
Yeah.
To pay off all the hush money.
It's really embezzling is what it is.
Yeah, it really is. I'm surprised that that's all he's gotten off with at the moment.
I know. I can't wait to hear what's next. You know, like, I really can't wait to hear what's next in terms of, you know, this
right.
The saga. And one of the best memes I saw the other day was that, it was basically saying that Vice would have to do an entire season on Vince McMahon for Darkseid.
True. It would just have to be the side. It's not even the dark side. It's just the side.
Yeah. Because, like, we all knew Vince was, you know, trash.
Yeah.
I mean, he literally covered up, you know, a murder with Snuka.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that only, like, you know, got out of the bag when Snuka in the memoir versus what Snuka said that didn't line up. And it's like, okay, let's reopen the investigation. And I mean, Snuka was literally going to go to jail, but then cancer took him.
Yeah.
You know, like, he'd be in jail right now if it wasn't for
the big C.
Cancer. Yeah.
Yeah. It sucks, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder what's going to happen now. But we have Triple H as the new Johnny Ace.
Yeah, absolutely. Which also at this point kind of looked like what's his face? Kevin Dunn is about to be out of there too, because of course, you know, he was Vince's right hand man, other than, you know, Johnny Ace or whatever.
Yeah, so like.
And he said a lot of fucked up shit in the past.
Mm-hmm. And wasn't he in trouble too with like some sort of like insider trading thing?
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Yeah, so like, it's only a matter of time before Kevin Dunn becomes.
He's actually done. Yep. Yeah. So this is gonna be interesting to see the next few weeks and see what else happens out of this. We also, like, we got word that Stephanie is now the CEO, well, the chairwoman.
Chairwoman.
And the co-CEO with Nick Khan as well.
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty cool. Yeah, Khan. Yeah. Yeah, so that's pretty cool. It's pretty much, you know, pushing things down to the next generation. So we're going to see what's going to happen now because, of course, you know, Triple H had a huge part of what, you know, NXT was when it was really good.
Yeah.
It was really good. He was the one that started the whole takeover and all the other things, and he actually, like, he was the reason why NXT was actually as good as it was.
Yes.
It's something that was completely different than what, you know, we see now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting to see how all these shows are going to be played out, how they're going to be different, and, you know, how things are going to work from now on. Because it's a new regime. It's literally, you could say it now. It's a new world order over there.
Or it's a new. I was gonna go with it's a new day.
Yeah, it's a new day too. Yeah, that works too. Sorry.
So like with this whole thing, and now fans of Lesnar versus Reigns. We're wondering what's going to go on because Lesnar, during this whole thing, pretty much said that he's done. And then it's interesting to see how, I would love to actually be interested to hear how they brought him back and they cooled his jets.
Oh, yeah. That would be really interesting from what they were saying.
Because he was done and then he showed up and then fucking destroyed Austin Theory.
Mm-hmm. Which is fair because fuck Austin Theory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Don't really care much for his character.
No.
I really don't. Like, even when I was at Raw last week, which is something that we forgot to touch on, like, I was at Raw last week and had a fun time. I didn't really care for Austin Theory then either. I was like, okay, yeah. Didn't really care for him. He still don't really care much for him. But yeah, he got destroyed. By the Beast. And it's interesting to see what's going to happen. I kind of want to see where this whole story goes. I want to see the type of story that Triple H is going to bring into this now.
Mm-hmm.
And how he's going to...
Especially now with the TV 14 rating.
Soon it's going to be TV. They haven't announced exactly when they're going to do TV 14.
Yeah.
Because they kind of hinted at it as far as, oh, we're going to have the next Raw, which was going to be the one that I was at last week. It was supposed to be TV 14. And then they were like, they kind of jumped the gun. They said a little too early. And then after like a couple of days, that we saw the the title card or whatever that was on the Peacock that it had for Survivor or for SummerSlam, had it as TV 14 as well. And they're like, no, it's not gonna happen then either. So right. We're just gonna have to wait and see whenever they decide to actually throw it up there for TV 14 for real.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be interesting. It's gonna be cool. Like, I kind of want to see it, but at this point I was like, it's not gonna be the same thing as what it was, you know, back in the Attitude Era. It's not gonna be the exact same thing. Because of course you still wanna you know, have the monies coming in as far as, you know, ad monies and stuff, because, you know, they have so much shit over there. And hopefully they don't have like another 3 hours of commercials and 2 hours, like 20 minutes of wrestling. But it should be pretty interesting. It should be cool to see what they're going to do with it.
Yeah, I'm intrigued, but, you know, it's still going to be like 15 minutes of matches and 3 hours of commercials.
Yeah. Because the funny thing is, it's not even like it was promos, like a shit ton of promos. They'll probably have like 10 minutes of promos, and then everything else is just commercials on top of commercials, and recaps of what we just saw 10 minutes ago.
Right. And then recaps of what we saw like earlier that evening.
Yeah.
It's like, this is how it started.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I get it. You want to get people that missed the first hour, but you do really have to put a whole video recap of everything every like hour and a half? I don't think so. I think you could just have the commentators just say something and keep moving. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's just my understanding. That's how I feel. Because you don't see recaps every single fucking thing anywhere else. Like, I get it, you want to get the fans in, you want to, you know, somehow tell them what's been going on, but there's no need to have, like, these crazy recaps over and over and over again. But I don't know, it's just me.
I'm with you.
Yeah, but, we'll see. I'm not saying that they're going to fail, I'm not going to say they're going to be amazing, but I'm very curious to see what's going to happen with Raw and SmackDown, NXT, and pretty much all of WWE, and see where they're going to go with this whole thing. It's going to be pretty cool.
You know, it's going to be a whole new... It's just a whole new generation of... It's sort of like a soft reboot.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Like, just how we're getting like a soft reboot of Daredevil. We're getting a soft reboot of...
Of WWE
in general, overall.
Now, what do you think is next? Do you think we get old school NXT, or do you think we get 3.0 or 2.5?
I don't think they're gonna do that again. I don't think they're gonna do anything with NXT at the moment. I think they're gonna leave it as is because they just turned, and I think they're gonna try to see what they have at the moment and then build off of that. Not necessarily changing NXT to what it was previously, because of course that'll just be like, oh yeah, we're kind of just erasing everything that we did for the last year or so. So I think what they'll do is they'll probably keep it as 2.0, but just build off of it and make it better.
Yeah,
because there's always room for improvement. Like we always know. There's always room for all types of improvements, so seeing where things could go would be pretty interesting. Because I wouldn't say just rebranding everything all over again, because that would just be like, why?
Right.
Yeah. But we'll see. We don't have shit to say with the company. I'm not a stakeholder. I could essentially buy a share for $70 at the moment, because that's what the stock is at. But I don't know. That's what they're saying. We'll see. See where things go. It should be pretty interesting. I kind of want to see where it wants to go, or where it will go. And I'm excited to see how the new product is going to be in the near future. And see how it's going to compare to, like, the AEWs that we've been having.
Because, I mean, week after week after week, AEW's just been on fire.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. They've been great, consistently. But what sucks is that they don't have a lot of viewers.
It's a shame.
It's a complete shame. But, yeah, they don't have a lot of viewers at the moment, but if you compare it to anything else that's on TV that day, mm-hmm. they are on top.
Yeah.
They are the number one rated cable TV show on Wednesdays and Friday nights. Well, probably not Friday nights, but on Wednesdays specifically.
Well, and I forgot Raw is at the Garden tonight.
Yeah, they are.
So, and tonight we get the mystery reveal Edge on who those vignettes are about.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's going to be something against Rey Mysterio because today is also the Rey Mysterio 20th anniversary.
That's right.
Yeah. So he may come out and probably, like, you know, hit him with a spear.
Maybe.
And then be like, I'm coming for you, Finn Balor. That was a shitty promo. But it'd be interesting to see if that's where it's gonna go. Yeah, because we know, he has beef with, you know, his guys in Judgment Day, since they pretty much turned on him.
In the House of Purple.
Yeah, yeah, a group that hasn't really done anything other than try to actually recruit Dominic Mysterio and then actually be like, oh yeah, fuck you. You were supposed to come join us at your own leisure and not, like, force us to actually do it. Which was dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, now Vince isn't there anymore, so let's see what they do.
Yeah, let's see what they do. Let's see what they do. Tonight technically should be the first night with Triple H as the head.
And what a way to return to that, too, because that's where Triple H returned from quad injury in 2002.
That's right, that's right.
So
I'm excited. I'm excited to see Raw after we record.
Yeah, I'll watch highlights.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm gonna wind up watching it on, like, Hulu or something at the moment, but, like, I'm not gonna watch it live, obviously, because that's just gonna take 2 whole hours out of my life.
I mean,
because that's what I love about having, like, it show up on Hulu the next day, is because on Hulu, they take out all the recaps, of shit that happened, like I said, 10 minutes ago.
So a 3-hour show becomes an hour show.
It literally turns into, like, an hour and a half.
Because there's so many fucking recaps.
Yeah. So many recaps. No promos. Just talk. Yeah. But it's all good. I want to see what's going to go. I want to see how it plays out. And best of the wishes to those guys over there. Mm-hmm. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun transition. It seems like everybody's super excited for it because, of course, you know, everybody is very enamored with Triple H as Triple H himself. And
yeah,
them seeing where, you know, Triple H could actually go and what he could possibly do. It's pretty cool. So it's pretty cool to see what's going to happen there.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Yeah. But something that we did see over the weekend that was pretty fucking amazing.
Hell fucking yeah, it was.
I'm talking about Ring of Honor's first pay-per-view back since Supercard of Honor. But we got Death Before Dishonor this weekend. And
shit.
Holy shit, it was. It was amazing. Even from the 0 hour, which was the pre-show, essentially. absolutely phenomenal. I hate to say, I hate that fucking word, but absolutely fantastic.
I did not get to see the pre-show because I was putting my kids to bed at the time.
That's completely fair. That's understandable. The pre-show had four matches. Colt Cabana made his return. And he went up against Anthony Henry, who we've seen in AEW before. He actually was partnering with JD Drake, which was his partner up in the Indies as well. But Colt Cabana, it was great to see him back in ring. It was a really good match. It was a really good back and forth. And Colt Cabana wound up winning that match, and that was good. It was good to see him back. It's good to see him actually, you know, wrestling. Because from what we hear, from what I've heard, is that he actually has beef with, like, real life beef with CM Punk, which is probably why he hasn't been on you know, Dynamite.
Yeah.
Not just because he was recording, he was like filming stuff before, but just because he does actually have like legit beef.
I wonder what it is, because they were friends for a really long time.
Right, but I think it was like a money issue or something like that. Mm. Some weird shit. It's online somewhere. I read somewhere online that that they had beef about something, and then they tried to squash it, and then shit came back, and yeah, weirdness.
Yeah.
Then the second match on that card was the Shinobi Shadow Squad versus the Trust Busters, which is actually a really, really interesting tag team match, because it was fun. The two dudes that I was really looking forward to was the Shinobi Shadow Squad, because one dude was a cheeseburger, and he's really fucking good. And I forget the other dude's name. But that was a really fun match. Unfortunately, they lost to the Trust Busters, who essentially were two dudes that used to be in WWE before. One of them being the Indian dude. Sorry. Fuck. I fucked up. I don't remember. I don't remember his name. But yeah, that was fun. That was a fun match. like I said, Trust Busters won, which led to probably like to my favorite match of the 0 hour, which was Allison Kay versus Willow Nightingale for a chance to actually go for the ROH women's title. And that was a fantastic fucking match. They, like, Allison Kay, she's been around for a little bit. She's really damn good. And Willow Nightingale, she's absolutely fucking fantastic. She's one of my favorite indie wrestlers at the moment. I don't think I don't know if she actually has a full contract over with ROH, or how they're gonna do anything with her, because she's popping up everywhere. She's popping up either, you know, in ROH or in AEW. Shows up on Dark every now and again. She showed up on Impact a few times, so she's still indie. But I want to see where she goes. I hope she gets a fucking contract, because she's fucking good. And she won the match. It was a great fucking match, like I said. She deserves to be there. She deserves to actually get the title, because she's really fucking good. I wouldn't mind seeing her have, you know, a title match that she actually wins, because, like I said, she's really fucking good. She's earned my respect over there, because she's like really damn good, but she's also like a baby face from the get. Like, as soon as you see her, you're like, oh yeah, she's a good guy. She walks through the gate through the entrance, and she's like, you just see the goodness coming off of her. And it's awesome. Fucking insanely good. Yeah, she's fucking great. And then the top card for the 0 hour was actually a six-man tag match between Tony Deppen, who's been around for a minute, Alex Zane, who's fucking dope, Blake Christian, who's fucking great, and they were tagging up against Brian Cage and the Gates of Agony.
Oh, nice.
Yes. Fantastic six-man tag. I was really hoping that that Zane Deppen and Christian would actually win, but unfortunately they didn't. They got pretty much decimated by Christian Cage in the Gates of Agony. But it was a fun match to watch regardless. Because they're all really damn good. And it's really good to see Brian Cage in the ring again. Haven't seen him for a while. Of course, because, you know, yeah. It's, I think the last time we saw him was for Supercard of Art Honor.
Yeah.
But it's good to see him back. It's good to see him. Like, hopefully he shows up a little bit more. Especially now that ROH is the thing. And from what I heard on, like, the media scrum is that, you know, he's been having plans for him for a little bit, but he couldn't really say anything because nothing was official. So you can't just say things that aren't official because it's like insider trading. You can't, like, give people the scoops if it's not really real.
Right.
So yeah. It's pretty cool that they have him over there with the Gates of Agony. Oh, and before we get into more of the Gates of Agony, Tully Blanchard isn't there anymore.
I heard.
Yes, Tony Blanchard isn't there anymore. So he was the leader of the Tully Blanchard group. I don't remember what they were called, but now they're called the Embassy because it was bought by Prince Nana, who used to be over with ROH as well previously. And he was like, oh, yeah, I got all this money. I bought it off Tully Blanchard. So now he is in charge of the Embassy now. That's what they call themselves. So, yeah, it's going to be pretty cool. It's going to be pretty interesting to see what's going to happen there. And then we got push right into the main card, which started with a fantastic match.
Oh,
something that I was not expecting. I was not expecting them to actually start the pay-per-view with the ROH World Championship match between Claudio Castagnoli and Jonathan Gresham. Fuck yes. That was a hell of a match. Was not expecting it because of course, you know, usually you expect, you know, the title match to be the main event, but this was essentially a double main event between that one and the two out of three falls for the FTR match. So that was why it was double main event. So they figured they started off with a big match and ended with another big match. So this match started up the evening and pushed it to the limit because it was a really fun match. Like, I love seeing Jonathan Gresham in the ring.
Oh, yeah, he's fun.
He's fucking great. He's really damn good for his stature because he is also, like, one of the smaller in height wrestlers. He's pretty, you know, he's pretty jacked. But him going up against Claudio was fucking insane.
I love how, like, the match opened and and it was like, what, Gresham tried to strike first, but Claudio countered and got him right into the swing.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. He did it, like, 15 times at least.
Yep. Which is something that we haven't seen him actually do for a bit because the last match that Claudio had was against Jake Hager. And you could easily see that Jake Hager has at least another 100 pounds over Jonathan Gresham. Yeah. So he did this one with ease. Because he only spun Jake Hager like 3 times. They're like, okay, I'm done.
Right. But he spun Gresham, yeah, like at least 15 times.
Yeah. A good amount. And it was great. It was great to see him. It was a great, great match. Because Jonathan Gresham is a really good technical wrestler. He knows how to work the ring. He knows how to work the opponent. And I didn't expect anything worse than anything. It was fucking great. Like, he's really damn good. Claudio, of course, is really damn good. And then Claudio came out on top. which is something that was very, very, very well worth it, very well deserved. Yeah. Because he's been around for a while and he hasn't had fucking a title run.
I know. And now he has a title.
Yeah. A legit title, too.
A legit title. And as I said to you the other day, is that if the last time he opened up a pay-per-view, he lost in 5 minutes.
Yep. Yep. Sad shit, dude. It's sad how he pretty much... I'm not gonna say he got shit on, but, like... You know, like, am I wrong? He kind of did. Like, it's awesome that, you know, he was there for so long and never had a title run. But now he's only been here for, like, what, a month and a half? And his title run has officially started.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's pretty cool. It's pretty interesting. I want to see where it's going to go. I want to see how long he's going to hold on to this title. Because Gresham has been holding on to this title since December of 2021.
Yeah.
Until now. So it's a good 6 months. And he's also, like, defended it outside of ROH, because, of course, ROH hasn't really done much. But he's also defended it, like, on indie shows and pretty much gone pretty much all over the world with it.
But I love the fact that now it's another member of the BCC with a title.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, like, a main title, too. Because Yuta's title is a main title as well.
Oh, yeah. And then Mox also has another main title, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has the interim AEW championship. Which is very cool. So, yeah. You can think about it. Like, yeah, they all have titles there. Other than Danielson, because of course Danielson has been out on, you know, sick leave essentially.
Mm-hmm. Which is it's so nice that he is cleared to wrestle.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Announced it at San Diego Comic Con.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, so before we continue on with the show, like. A bunch of the AEW guys started hanging around the San Diego Comic-Con booth of Diamond Select.
Uh-huh.
Including Orange Cassidy.
Nice.
CM Punk.
Okay.
And quite a few others. I think Dr. Britt Baker, DMD.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say Brody King, because Brody King also invaded Mike Kingston's booth at Headlocked.
Huh, that's awesome.
So, and then, didn't he attack Darby Allin at San Diego Comic Con as well?
Yeah, him and Malakai.
Yeah.
They both attacked him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's cool that, that, you know, Punk should be coming back, because from what he said also is that, like, Punk has said that his foot was pretty much shattered, not just broken, but shattered.
Shattered.
And he has to relearn how to walk. Mm-hmm. Which is crazy, dude.
Yeah.
But I'm glad Daniel's coming back. It's been like, yes, they said he was cleared for. He's been pretty clear. He's been cleared for a little while. But they were just like, yo, we're not sure. And now they're just like, okay, yeah, you're good. You haven't had any issues. Everything's been good. So let's do it.
Yeah, they want to make sure that, you know, especially in his case, that everything is copacetic.
Mm-hmm. That's completely fair.
Yeah. You don't want to risk, like, permanently injuring, career injuring one of your top guys.
Mm-hmm. Especially when he has a history of concussions, too.
Yeah.
And that's the main thing. You don't want to, you know, have him continuously just keep breaking and breaking and breaking. To the point that he's like, okay, yeah, I can't do this anymore. Because then he's going to be like, you know, all these, you know, not necessarily just wrestlers, but like all these dudes from the NFL that have concussions constantly, have a lot of CTE and shit like that. You don't want that. So it's completely fair. I totally get it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Then after this awesome first match, we got another six-man tag for the Trios title, or the six-man title, between Dalton Castle and the boys and The Righteous. I am a fan of the leader of The Righteous, which is Vincent. He's really fucking good. He's also he's done a lot of things recently in Impact with the Honor No More. His group over there is Honor No More. It's very interesting that he's over there, that he's, you know, defending the title over here against who was it? Dalton Castle and the boys. Dalton Castle is a fucking, he's a gem, dude. He's fucking good. He's good, but his entrances is what like very always accurate. Make me fucking laugh. Cause he's very, very super extravagant. And coming into the ring, he has like a cape and wings, and he comes out with the boys that are, they have like their feathers and the mask and shit. Very, very, very fucking, like, you know, very weird, very eccentric. So, like, seeing them come to the ring and then seeing them go, they're back and forth. And his boys are actually twins. One of them has a blonde streak in his hair, which makes them different. But very fun to see them. Very fun to see that whole dichotomy of the team there. Against The Righteous, who was essentially, like, the emo dudes, but in all white.
Yeah,
it's fun, man. It's fun. That whole story right there was really good. And then it was fun seeing their manager actually do like a senton from the inside out to the front, from the inside the ring to on top of all the guys outside. Mm-hmm. Did you see that part? Because they pretty much had like a, you know, the huge scramble or whatever. And she's like, fuck it, I'm going to get inside. And she just jumped off. It was really fun. It was a really fun match. And that was the second title change of the night.
Yeah.
The Righteous lost. And Dalton Castle and the boys have gained the title. Which was fucking great. It was a really good match. I really enjoyed it. Like, I was surprised at how fun it was. Not just because, you know, it was like, essentially you could say it was absolute craziness at one point of the match. You didn't know who the fuck was supposed to be the legal man or whatever. Which tends to happen. Tends to happen with a lot of these tag team type matches. Whether it's just a regular tag match or a trios tag match, like once there's more than just four people in the ring, you don't know who the fuck exactly is supposed to be there, because you want to grab somebody's attention somehow, and that's a good way to do it when you're just running around fucking tagging each other and just keep going. Yeah. But it was a real fun match. It's still a really fun match. Then following that was the Battle of the Brothers, right?
No, following that was Wheeler versus Daniel Garcia.
Oh yes, that's right. That's right. I got them mixed up because the Battle of the Brothers was after that one.
Yeah.
Wheeler Yuta versus Daniel Garcia for the pure championship battle.
That was a solid match. There were a lot of times where I thought they were going to give it to Garcia.
Yeah.
You know, especially because like. You gave a title to one of the BCC, and since their rivalries with the JAS, and you know, with everything going on, the whole mix up since Blood and Guts and everything else, or even before that, since the last pay per view,
since Anarchy in the Arena too,
yeah, and so like, I was like, okay, we're gonna gain a title, but then we're gonna lose a title. But then no, Wheeler mm-hmm. just Wheeler Yuta. I swear that man just he just works.
Yeah, every single time.
And he really, really he was just a lot of, as he was texting you, he was just a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, he's fucking great to watch.
Counter after counter after mm-hmm. counter after counter. I was like, oh my god. And then
yeah,
he put the lion tamer on Garcia.
Yep.
This is a fucking Jericho.
He's essentially like the perfect person that you would wanna have the pure championship with.
Yeah. Because he's one of the best technical wrestlers I've seen.
Absolutely.
You know, and he's just, as I said, he's just fun to watch.
I
thoroughly enjoyed that match. And mm-hmm. I mean, and props to Garcia, because I mean, the man literally almost never wrestled again.
Yeah.
You know, like
the whole thing, a really bad car accident.
True.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's absolutely true.
You know, learn how to walk again and learn how to like, you know, beat the odds and did this.
Mm-hmm.
I hope one day they give him a title.
I hope so too, because he deserves it for sure.
Whether it be with this JAS thing, or it's just he's on a single run, whatever, I want to see him eventually hold the strap.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure. Unfortunately, he didn't win this one.
No, we're keeping it on our boy Wheeler. So like I said,
yeah.
The BCC now hold 3 major titles.
Yep. Which is cool with me. I got no problem with that.
Me neither.
Yeah. Essentially, could essentially at one point possibly be 4 titles. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Yeah. And then that followed us with that was followed up by the Battle of the Brothers. Yes, yeah. Rush versus Dragon Lee. Another. Fantastic. I fucking love watching Lucha. These Lucha matches are fucking insanely good.
These guys,
Rush, who used to be a ROH champion before. Dragon Lee is fucking insane. I've seen him in a bunch of different places. I've seen him in AAA. I've seen him I've seen him a couple times in Impact and a couple of indie shows. He's really fucking good. And their back and forth, them knowing each other so well, just made this match so much better.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Like, I love their back and forth. It was really damn good.
I thought it was great when Rush thought he got Dragon Lee, and like it was the kick out of one.
Uh huh.
I've never seen that. I'm like, wait, one?
Yeah.
Especially with that DDT, I was like,
uh-huh. Uh-huh. All right. Well, it was a no sell finisher. Yeah.
It was great.
Yep. It was fucking great. It was a real fun match. Mm. And then of course, like I said, like we just said, Rush actually wound up winning. Which is not bad. I'm not against it. It was still like a really fun match to watch. It was really cool. I want to see where else these stories go. How else would they package this? What ways are they going to keep doing this? How are they going to keep making, you know, these stories work here?
Right.
And then following this match, we had this was the next match was the Mercedes Martinez versus Serena Deeb for the Women's ROH Championship, which was another fantastic fucking match.
Absolutely.
Like, I've been a fan of Mercedes Martinez for a little while. I've also been a fan of Serena Deeb for a little while, because Serena Deeb's been around for a couple decades already. Mm-hmm. They're both really fucking good. Both in their own different way.
Yes. I really, for this one, I really did think that Mercedes Martinez was going to drop it.
I thought so too. I really thought so too, because who else? Serena Deeb is fucking great in ring. She has, she calls him, she calls herself the professor for a reason.
Yes.
She's so fucking good in ring. And she really knows how to work the ring, work the competitor too, because there's like, she has a counter for everything.
Yeah.
She is the new Dean Malenko.
I was gonna compare her to Taskmaster.
Oh, that works too. Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
that's fair.
Do your move one time and you know how to counter it.
Yep.
But no, I would, in wrestling though, I would compare her to Dean Malenko.
Yeah, she's the woman with 1,000 moves.
1,000, yeah.
Yeah.
Now we have to have somebody, a female, come out and do the 1,001.
Right, exactly. But this is a really fun match. It was really damn good. I was honestly like at the edge of my seat, like, yo, like, who's gonna win this?
Yeah.
Because there are so many near falls. So many close submissions.
Mm-hmm.
At one point that Serena Deeb was trying to get Mercedes Martinez to tap. And then she wound up biting Martinez's arm. I was like, why are you going to do that? That was a desperate plea. Like, I got to win this fucking match. I'm going to make you fucking tap somehow. She fucking just, yeah, you're ripped into her and shit. It was a fun match. It was a really fun match. Like, I really like seeing them fight. I want to see more of Mercedes Martinez, actually, around, period, because she's fucking good. She's really damn good. I don't see her, like, on Dark and Dark Elevation, because she's been, you know, putting her title on the line up there, too. But seeing her on a main show would be great. Yeah, so it was good to see her actually come out with the win over Serena Deeb, who's been around for a while. She's also like, she could have won this too. Like, I would have been good with either one actually winning the title. But now we will see who is going to go, who's going to win after Martina's going to go up against Willow Nightingale, which will be fucking interesting. Because they've had a match before. They fought before. But this time it's going to be like an official match. Which should be, you know, should be a banger of a match. This entire pay-per-view has pretty much been filled with nothing but title match. Other than that one with Dragon Lee and Roosh.
Yeah.
Every single match essentially was a title match. Which is fucking great. The next match was the ROH Television Championship match between Samoa Joe and Jay Lethal. Which is really fucking cool. Jay Lethal is fucking awesome. I really hope they bring back Black Machismo sometime. Highly doubt it's going to happen. Because, of course, you know, copyrights and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Because for those that don't know, Black Machismo was essentially him dressing up as Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yeah.
And also impersonating Macho Man Randy Savage. Really fucking fun. Probably one of the best things I've ever seen. Because he's really good at it. He's also a really good impressionist for when he comes to Ric Flair. Because they had a feud back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Back in, I think it was ROH or Impact. Which also leads to them having a match together at Ric Flair's last match. He's gonna be tagging with Double J, Jeff Jarrett,
mm-hmm.
and Andrade, and Ric Flair. Well, that's gonna be a real fun match too. I'm excited to see that too. I'm sorry.
Yeah, same.
Back to ROH over here. This match between Samoa Joe and Jay Lethal was pretty dope until you notice, like, 5 minutes in, when they actually get into the ring, that it hasn't even been an official match yet, because they've been fighting this entire time outside of the ring. for like a good 5 minutes.
Yeah. Like when they went into the ring and then the bell went bing, I'm like, wait, it just now started?
Yeah. Yeah. That was super fun. I was like, okay. Okay. I like where this is going. Which is pretty cool. Like, it was fun. It was fun. I really like Samoa Joe. I know you're like, you know, I kind of like...
I'm over him.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Like, give Jay Lethal a title, goddammit.
Yeah. Yeah, but we know this isn't this absolutely cannot be the end of this whole little feud.
No, it's not.
Yeah. But you know, this was a really good match. This was a really good match. Jay Lethal is fucking great. Tons of near falls in this one. Tons of false finishes. I was like, oh yeah, it's almost over. Nope. Yeah. Great fucking match. And of course, Samoa Joe came out with the win with it. When he put him essentially in the Taz mission in this one, it was like a rear naked choke, and then a pretty much lethal tap out, mm-hmm. Which is fair. A tap out is a tap out. He got over you. He got over on you, whether you like it or not. It was a good match. It was a good match. Then that led us to...
Yeah, it was a good match. I was going to say, it was a good match. I'm just still bummed that they didn't give it to Lethal.
Yeah, yeah. But who knows? Who knows? Like I said, this can't be the ending of this whole story. Absolutely not. So we're going to have to see where this is going to go. And then the final, the main event, the other main event for this show was FTR versus the Briscoes in a 3-fall match. So best 2 out of 3 for the ROH tag team title. And this was by far one of the best matches I've ever experienced. The best matches I've ever seen.
Definitely. With all the great matches of the show, best match of the show.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Like, absolutely best match of the show.
It was a pay-per-view filled with best matches, but this was the number one match for me.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It was so damn good. Mm-hmm. FTR just coming in hot against the Briscoes that essentially have pretty much been just sitting out for a while because they haven't really had any real matches in a while. Haven't really seen them do anything, really. I know they've done some indie shows. They've done little things here and there. I think they had a couple spots on Impact for a little bit.
Yeah.
But them actually being essentially the fresh guys to come into this, because FTR has been pretty much in every single event for the last month. They've done everything everywhere.
Even like, what was it? Even after the last pay-per-view, when they won their third set of tag titles,
mm-hmm.
It's like you saw how bruised and battered they were drinking tequila in the back.
Yep.
You know, and then these guys showed up to work Wednesday on Dynamite and did their thing.
Yep.
These guys fucking work.
Yeah, and they're fucking good.
They're fucking good. They might be one of my new, like, favorite tag teams over the last couple of years.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, like, the more I watch them, the more, like, I'm like, okay, I really see myself getting behind them.
Yeah. I've been a fan of this since before they went babyface. Honestly.
Okay.
I was like, these dudes are really fucking good. Like, they deserve... Because before they turned babyface, they I think they had gotten the title previously when they were heels. When they were with Tully Blanchard. But then they lost it, and then, of course, they got rid of Tully Blanchard and shit like that. But it's interesting to see their evolution, essentially, from when they first started being, you know, the disgruntled dudes from the WWE that made their way over here. Mm-hmm. And then them essentially being the bad guy that wound up turning good, turning babyface, without them even knowing, because that's not something that they've even expected to do, is actually turn babyface. It's fun to see their journey. It's fun to see their story. It's fun to see where they're going. But this was a great match with the Briscoes, who are another fantastic team, too. Mm-hmm. They've held the ROH tag title 20 times. Mm-hmm. They're really fucking good. Jay and Mark Briscoe are fucking insanely good. I saw them for the Impact show. And they're fucking great, dude. Really cool people outside of the ring too, but it was really, really fun. They got their first pin, and I was like, oh shit, it's about to go down. They're gonna win this whole thing, and then they're gonna regain their ROH title, because of course we also heard previously before this that they are officially signed to Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
So they got a multi-year deal with Ring of Honor. So, which means that there's possibly words of a TV deal if Sancho is somewhere down the line.
That'd be interesting to see.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Because they didn't mention anything throughout this entire event about a TV deal or the next pay-per-view. Because usually, you know, a lot of these things, they'll be like, oh yeah, the next pay-per-view is happening this time or whatever. We didn't see any of that. But back to the card, like, this was a really good match. Like I said, they won the first pin.
Then the Briscoes got it.
Yeah.
And then it's like it was anybody's ball game for that final pinfall.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you saw all four of them had nothing left in the tank, especially yeah. Dax and Cash. Like, they had nothing mm-hmm. left.
It was a legit brawl the entire time. Mm-hmm. And I fucking loved it, dude.
They fought like an 8-year-old girl, and they won.
Yeah.
And they kept their title.
Yep.
But then, as they're given a victory speech, they hug the Briscoes.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a sign of respect. And then
that's the true code of honor right there.
Yeah. And then just as you think the show's about to end, Regal walks out with Yuta and Claudio.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what's this? And then they both hold up their titles. Uh-huh. You're like, yo, we might see Wheeler and Claudio going for the ROH title. Which would be fucking fantastic. Because mm-hmm. I would love to see that match. Especially because, like, Claudio and Wheeler, we haven't really seen them fight together on team, other than the
Blood and Guts cage match.
Yeah, other than that, we haven't really seen them do anything together. But essentially, if you really look at it like these, that match was, even though they did fight together, they weren't fighting together. They had their own little things here and there.
Mm-hmm. They weren't a tag team.
Right. So I'm interested to see where and how this will play out and how this will work.
Yeah, me too.
Overall, this was a great fucking pay-per-view. So if you haven't watched it yet, check it out. Go out and procure it somewhere, whether it's on Fight TV or... well, you can't even say Fight TV. You can. Bleacher Report.
I watched it on Bleacher Report, but Bleacher Report, get your shit together.
Yeah, get your shit together, Bleacher Report. Like, what the fuck? Tons of fucking issues over there. But yeah. check out Ring of Honor. It's fucking good. Death of Fourth of Honor was a fucking banger of a fucking pay-per-view.
One of the better pay-per-views I've seen all year.
Yeah.
So far.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of good. We've watched a lot of fucking wrestling in the last few months.
That's why we have our own show about it.
Yeah, essentially, yeah. Exactly. We've had a lot of good wrestling in the last few months. Like, so damn good. Oh, we had Forbidden Door, then we had the other AEW pay-per-view, which was, what was it? Like, Double or Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then we had this one. So, yo, like, it's been banger after banger after banger. We also had Money in the Bank, which was decent. It wasn't bad. So, like, wrestling is becoming really fucking fun again. From all angles.
From all angles.
Which is great. Like, I love it. Like, it's a great time to be a fan of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You could say sports entertainment, too, because, of course, you know, there's still a lot of good within the sports entertainment realm as well. Yeah. Not a lot of great, but it's still some good in there, too. Yeah. Especially now that, you know, things may have changed over there, so we'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah.
You know, we'll judge by tonight's highlights.
Yeah, exactly. So, do you have anything else to add to the show?
No.
All right. So, yeah, make sure you guys go check out all the stuff over there at InnerCityGeeks.net, where you got a whole bunch of stuff, because we got this show, and we also have the main show, which is the Inner City Geeks podcast, where we talk about a lot of geeky shit, which is the reason why it's called the Inner City Geeks, because we're fucking geeks, which is why also we have this show, because we're Suplex City Geeks, because we fucking love wrestling, too. So, check us out over there. Then, of course, we had all the other shit over there. Then we got links to places, especially Fight TV. With a link to Fight TV, click that link and you get tons of fucking wrestling over there. Of course, you get MMA stuff as well. But we all know what you really want to see over there is fucking wrestling. So check that shit out, dude. Click that link and it'll take you over there. And then it'll give us a little bit of credit, too. So check out Fight TV. Hell yeah. Oh, I'm hearing myself with an echo. Oh, no. yeah, and then you can find the show on SoundCloud, on Stitcher Radio, Google Podcast, and on motherfucking Spotify. Find us all over there. Find us on the social. So facespace.com/InnerCityGeeks. Instagram, Inner City Geeks. Twitter, Inner City Geeks. Also, this main show, you can find us on Suplex City Geeks on Twitter. Then where can we find you, sir?
You can find me on my social medias. Check me out on Twitter and Instagram, both Bride2J Presents. Check out Bride2JPresents.com. Check out Bride2J Presents, the YouTube channel, where a new video just went up last night.
Woohoo!
And you can, of course, check me out here trying not to suffer from COVID.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's about it. Where can we find you?
You guys can find me on the Instagram and the Twitters as well, at Mr. Jackal, MisterJackal. Thank you guys for listening. I appreciate the hell out of you. Brian, I'm pretty sure, appreciates the hell out of you as well.
I do.
You guys are awesome. I appreciate you guys, you know, spreading the word, letting everybody know how we are, or if we're actually any good. We appreciate you. Thank you guys for listening. But we'd like to wish you the best in all your future endeavors.